Begin the current daf Masechta Sanhedrin daf Yud Ches. Begin 11 lines down from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara begins the second parak Masechta Sanhedrin parak Kohen Gadol, where it continues on one of the themes of the previous parak, where there was only one Mishnah then in the beginning of the Masechta, which discussed one of the items was a Kohen Gadol regarding that he gets judged only with 71 judges. So now the Mishnah continues on that theme of Kohen Gadol, which is a Kohen Gadol done the done in Isa. He judges, he could be a judge, and he gets judged too. Meir, Meid Noisa, he can serve as a witness, and witnesses could serve testimony against him. Chalitz, v'chaltzin le'ishtoi, he can do chalitza, which is if his brother dies without any children, and he doesn't want to do yibim to his sister-in-law, he does chalitza. And if he dies without any children, his brothers do chalitza to his wife. U'meyabim le'ishtoi, and if, let's say, they want to do yibim, they can do yibim to his wife. Aval hu ein meyabim. But if his brother dies without any children, the Kohen Gadol cannot do yibim to his brother's wife. Because one of the prohibitions that's unique to the Kohen Gadol is that it's forbidden to a widow. And here, even if the heter of yibim overpasses the iser of eshes ach, of his brother's wife, when there's no children, but it doesn't override the iser of a widow, which is what his brother's wife is. Meis loy meis continues the Mishnah with the halachas of a Kohen Gadol. If a relative of his passes away, einu yetzah achar mita, he does not go after, which the custom is to do levaya, to escort the body to the grave, he does not go after the bed, because maybe he's going to come to touch it. And the Torah warns, umin ha-mikdash lo yetzah, that he should not go out from the mikdash. What that means, according to this opinion, is mikdushas lo yetzah. He should not go out from his sanctity. In other words, he should distance himself from things, that he should not come to a state of ritual impurity. Which that pasuk of min amikdash layetz is going on the kohen gadol that's an einin, meaning who just lost a close relative, because the pasuk previously says la'avav le'ima le'itama, he does not make himself tummy to his father and his mother. That's only applies to a kohen gadol. So El rather says the Tanakama, hey nichsin, when they go out from one mavoi, which is the type of an alleyway, and they go into the next alleyway, and now they're concealed already from the first alleyway, where then the Kohen Gadol doesn't see the Levaya anymore, then Vuhu Nigla, then he reveals himself, and he enters into the first Mavoi, and they're ready, when they remove themselves from the second Mavoi, then he reveals himself to the second Mavoi, and so on and so forth. So, Hei Niglan, Vuhu Nigsa, when he reveals himself, they're covered. So he can follow after, but that they have to be totally out of sight. And the Yitzimon at Pesach Shahair Divrei Meir. Meir says that he follows them up until the gateway of the opening of the gates of the city, which is because their cemeteries were out of the city limits. And that's how, so he has to make sure he holds on to his sanctity, therefore he cannot be part of the procession. He could follow as long as they're out of sight, and only up until the opening of the gateway of the city. He says, no, he doesn't even leave the base of Mikdash, he doesn't leave the temple. Because it says in the pasuk Meyikra, "Min haMikdash leYetzeh," that from the Mikdash he doesn't leave. As because he expounds literally the words "Min haMikdash," from the base of Mikdash he doesn't leave. Whereas again, as we explained according to Meir, he learns that "Umin haMikdushas leYetzeh," shouldn't leave his sanctity. Therefore, he could leave the base of Mikdash, but he's got to keep a distance. Continues the Mishnah, "Kshu menachem acherim," when the Kohen Gadol is consoling others, which are other mourners in this what's called the shura in the row, which is when they're coming back from burying someone else's dead person, not the Kohen Gadol's relative. So derech kol ha'am, the path of the people, the way they do it is ayvim mezeach hazeh. They go in the procession one after another, which is that the avol, as the custom was in the Mishnah, in the Mishnaic times, that the mourner would stand in his place, and everyone else would walk by him and one by one console him. Now, but however, regards to the Kohen Gadol, the hamamuna, the appointed one, which is the Skana Kahanim, he's the deputy to the Kohen Gadol, he mematza, he centers the Kohen Gadol beinoy lebeina'am, between himself, the Skan, and the rest of the other people, meaning because the Mamuna, the appointed one of the Kohen Gadol, is on the Kohen Gadol's right side. All the other people are on the Kohen Gadol's left side, and the Kohen Gadol is in the middle. That's as an honorable way for the Kohen Gadol. Now, ukeshu misnacha me'acherim, and when the Kohen Gadol is being consoled from other people, meaning he just lost his relative, all the people tell him, we are your atonement. In other words, through us you will be atoned, and we're in place of you for whatever is fit to come unto you. And he tells them, Tisbarchu min Hashemayim, you should be blessed from heaven. When they give him his first meal, which as the Gemara tells him, that a mourner, the first meal he has is forbidden to eat from his own, other people have to give him that meal. So in that meal, kala am mesubin ala aretz, all the people there reclining on the floor, which is they're showing themselves that they're in pain and mourning over his pain. But Vahu Mesav, the Kohen Gadol himself, is reclining in an honorable way, ala safsal, on the bench. He doesn't sit on the floor. That's all regards to Kohen Gadol. Now, regarding these halachas, how they apply to Hamelech, regarding a king, loy don v'loy don noise. He does not judge, and we don't judge him. Loy meid v'loy meid noise. He does not testify, and we don't testify against him. Loy chaylutz v'loy chaltzin l'ishtay. He does not do chalitza, and we don't do chalitza to his wife. Loy meyam v'loy meyam l'ishtay. He does not do yibim to his brother's wife. And neither do they do yibim to his wife if the king dies. Rabbi Huda, I mean, he says, imrotz alachlitz eliyabim zachalatayv. He disagrees. He says that if the king wants to do chalitza or do yibim to his brother's wife, then he should be remembered for the good. Although he doesn't have to, but it's definitely commendable. And Amrulai, the Chum responded back to Rabbi Huda, says, no, ain't shemeli, we don't listen to him. He's not allowed to do chalitza or yibim. It's not honorable, respectful to the Kohen Gadol, to the melech, to the king. So too continues the Tanna Kama, ve'einos namanasei. We don't marry the widow of the king. No one else is befitting to marry the king's widow. Whereas Rabbi Huda, I mean, he says, Nisi ha-melech al-manasei shal-melech. A king could marry the widow of another king. Shekem etzinim David, as we find by David, shenasa al-manasei shal-shal, that he married the widow of Shal, who is the king before him. Shnemak, he says, the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, ve'en l'cha es beis adinecha, I will give you the house of your master, ves neshe adinecha b'chekecha, and the wives of your master, meaning to David, that of Shal, in your bosom, you see that a king can marry the widow of another king. Now the Gemara now explains the halachas of our Mishnah. Kohen Gadol done. We said in the Mishnah that Kohen Gadol, he could judge, he could be on the court. Says the Gemara, pshit, obviously, why would we think that a Kohen Gadol cannot be a judge? Says the Gemara, done in Isa Yitzchukhalei. It was necessary to say it that we could judge him, because we would have thought to say that it's we shouldn't disgrace the Kohen Gadol, forcing him to come in front of a panel, in front of a court, to be judged. To which the Gemara still asks, Hanami pshit, that's also obvious. If we wouldn't be able to judge the Kohen Gadol, ihu heichadai, and how could he judge others? Because of what Ksiv, the pasuk says, in Sifani hiskeishu, you should search others, you should search yourself, v'kaishu, and then you should search others. Which Amar Shlakashi explained what this means ethically is kishat atzmacha, adorn yourself, meaning first judge yourself, which is the aloch of danin and lei, that they could judge him, v'achakach kishat achem, and then judge others, then go ahead and help others out with their problems. So you see that if we know that he judges, for sure we could judge him. So it's a chiddush in that. So Ella rather says, the Gemara, you're right, there's no chiddush in the fact that a Kohen Gadol could judge or get judged. It's either the Kaboy Lemis, it's just that the Mishnah, the second half of the Mishnah, wanted to teach the contrast that regarding a melech, regarding a king, loydon v'loydon and oisai, that he does not judge, we don't judge him. So tani nami Kohen Gadol damadan, so to keep that parallel, we said also that the Kohen Gadol judge and is judged, but you're right, there's no intrinsic chiddush in the halach of that. Or v'ibayseima, or if you want, you could say, says the Gemara, hakam ashmalon, no, there is a chiddush in this part of the Mishnah. Because k'ditana, within the Braisa, the fact that we judge him is going on a specific judgment. The Braisa teaches, Kohen Gadol shahariges ha-nefesh, regarding if a Kohen Gadol murders somebody. So b'mezid, if he did it deliberately, then nerig, he gets killed, which is the case for someone that murders. B'shege gaila, if he killed him by mistake, which is the case for a regular person that kills by mistake, gaila, he goes into exile. And also, v'ever Allah seva, loisa say, the Kohen Gadol violates positive commandment and negative commandment, which the Gemara is going to later ask, what do you mean? He has to violate a positive commandment, negative commandment, what does that mean? And v'harehu k'hedyu l'chal devarav, and he's like a commoner for all his practical purposes, which the Gemara is going to explain also what does this mean, that he's like a hedyu. But first the Gemara asks, so what are you saying? What's the chiddush in this brayse that we judge him if he's a murderer? B'meizin nerig pshita. The fact that if he kills deliberately, he gets killed, obviously, what's the chiddush in that? Says the Gemara, b'shege g'yle etzuchlein. Now the chiddush that we want to say that we could judge him is specifically if he kills by mistake, that he goes into exile. That was the halacha that we said is the chiddush in Dainin Lay that we judge him. Which the Gemara says, Hanami Pshita, well, that's also obvious. Why would a Kohen Gadol be different than anyone who kills by mistake that goes into the Eir Miklat that has to go into exile? Says the Gemara, no, Itzrach, it was necessary. Why? So, I mean, you would have thought to say, since the Pasuk says in Bamidbar, that regarding the person that kills by mistake, the Pasuk says he has to go to the city of refuge. And it says, V'yashabba, and how long does he have to stay there? Admois a Kohen Gadol, until the Kohen Gadol dies, the Kohen Gadol dies, and he can go free. So Amos, I would thought to say, called the Islay Kanta Bechazar Likli, whoever has the rectification of being able to go back home, which is when the Kohen Gadol dies, then that's the type of person that has to go into exile. that lesley tekanda bechazor liligli, but someone that does not have a rectification of ever going back home, that it doesn't go into exile in the first place. Because it's not like we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Makkos as a continuing Talmud days, it says, Hahori Kohen Gadol, if someone kills a Kohen Gadol by mistake, so he goes into exile into the Ir Miklat, and he can never leave there forever. Because since there's no Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash, because he killed him, when he went into exile, there was no Kohen Gadol, so whose death is going to help him go back home? So too, a Kohen Gadol Shari gets a Nefesh, if a Kohen Gadol himself killed someone else by mistake. So with whose death is he going to go back? There is no Kohen Gadol. So says the Mishnah, in the Yitz Mishnah Malayim. So he never leaves. He can never go back. He is always going to have to stay in the Ir Miklat. So there it says, the Gemara Emali Ligli, I would thought to say that therefore he doesn't go into exile in the first place. Because the Pasuk says, he goes in until he can go back, which is with the death of Kohen Gadol. But this individual that can never go back, maybe doesn't go into exile in the first place. Kamash Bulan, that's what the Chiddush of the Price is, which is the Chiddush of our Mishnah, that we judge him and he does go into exile, even though he's never going to be able to leave. Says the Gemara, Sabe'im HaChanami. So maybe you're right. Maybe you should say that he should not go into exile. Why does the Brisa say that he does go to Kohen Gadol if he kills someone by mistake? Says the Gemara, Amakrakas, the Pasuk says, Nevarim, Laman Noshama Kol Ritzech, make the city of refuge that every murderer could flee over there. Which tells us, Afilu Kohen Gadol, which includes everyone, even someone that doesn't have a way out, which even includes a Kohen Gadol, he kills by mistake. That's the halacha that the Chiddush of our Mishnah, according to Yibay Seima, is that Taininly we judge him if he kills by mistake, that he goes into Gullus, even though he doesn't have a way out. Now, the Brisa also said, Ivar Allah Seva Loisase. And the Kohen Gadol violates a positive commandment and a negative commandment. So the Gemara says, what, Loi Sagi de Loi Over? What, it's not possible that he shouldn't violate what he has to violate at Isser? Where is this coming from? So the Gemara, Nohachikom, and this is what it's saying. Actually, the two statements that we were questioning what it meant are actually one long statement. Im Over Allah Seva Loi Sase, you're right, it doesn't have to. If he violates a positive commandment or a negative commandment, harehu kehedid l'chol devarav, he is judged like a commoner for practical purposes, meaning in a court of three individuals. So he must have pshita, obviously. The fact that if he did something that's warranting the punishment of a positive commandment or a negative commandment is the same as any regular person, which is with three judges. So it's Gemara, no, Sokot, I mean, you would have thought to say, Hoyle, if it's nonsense, we learned in the Mishnah beginning of the Masechta that says, ain't done, we do not judge. Lois HaShevet, not a tribe. V'lois Novi HaShekin, not a false prophet. V'lois Kohen Gadol, and not the high priest. LLP Bezdin, Shalshev Me'echad, only with the court of 71 judges. Now, V'omer V'adabahavi, he explained the reason of this is because it says in the Pasuk, Kol HaDavar HaGadol Yivyu Alecha, all big things should be brought to you, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the equivalent of the Sanhedrin HaGadol of the 71 judges, which, what does that mean, every big thing? It means Devarav Shal Gadol, the words that pertain to a big person, which includes a Nasi or a Kohen Gadol. Se'ema Kol Devarav Shal Gadol, I would have thought to say, all the words of a big person, meaning even something as small as a violation of a positive commandment or a negative commandment, which usually needs three, by him you always need to have 71 judges. Kamash Bulan, that's what the Chiddush is, that no, he's like a Hedid L'chol Devarav. If it's not regarding capital punishment, then it is enough, even a Kohen Gadol, for three judges. Which the Gemara asks, why? Be'im HaChanami. Maybe say that, yeah, it means Kol Devarav Shal Gadol, even something as a small thing. Says the Gemara, no, Mik Siv Divri Gadol. Does the Pasuk say the words of the Gadol? Hadavar HaGadol Siv, the big of the big person, the thing of the big person. What that means to say is Davar Gadol Mamash, something very big. Meaning, if a Kohen Gadol or a Nasi violates a negative prohibition that has the penalty of death, that's where you need this in Hednah Gadol. But regarding something of lashes, then even someone like a big person, like a Kohen Gadol, only needs three judges, Kehedit L'chadvarav, like even like a regular person. Now, the Mishnah said, continuing, that Meid, the Kohen Gadol, says testimony, and we testify against him. So the Gemara asks, Meid, is that really so that the Kohen Gadol testifies in the court of law if he knows testimony for somebody? But Vitanya, in the Braisa, which the Pasuk in Devarim, in Perich of Beis Pasuk Aleph, is talking about mitzvah of a Shavas Aveda, which says, Leisira Sharachicha, Esei Nidachim, you shouldn't see the ox of your friend or his sheep that's rejected. And v'hisalamta, which the pasuk continues, and that you'll turn a blind eye mayhem from them. Don't do that. Hashif teshim lachecha, return it to your brother. Now, but the brisa is medayik from the word v'hisalamta. Samtalam sounds like, and you will go ahead and turn the blind eye, which sounds like that the pasuk is telling you that you should turn the blind eye, which tells us pa'am sha'at misalam. There are times when there's someone's lost item is there that you do turn the blind eye. You don't have to return it. Whereas a pa'am shiat misalam, and sometimes that you don't turn the blind eye, which is, that's what the mitzvah generally is, of hashavas aved, of returning the lost object. Says the b'raisa zahok heitzad, what's the cases? If he's a kayin, and he finds a lost object, b'beis ha'kvaris, in the cemetery, which he's forbidden to go into the cemetery, to become tamei, or zakin ven levichavayid, or he's an elderly person, and it's not according to his honor and dignity, which is, if it was his own thing, he wouldn't go ahead and bring it home. It's not, he's not going to schlep this thing in the street. It's not what they call b'kavadik, it's not honorable for him. Or his loss of work would have been more of a loss than that person's lost object. For example, he's someone that pierces, that makes holes in pearls. Where if he would go ahead and spend the time to return this guy's lost ball, he's going to lose more from his loss of work than the value of the thing that he's returning. Says the Brice, L'kach nemeh v'salamta. That's what it says, that you will turn the blind eye. In those cases, there's no obligation to return the lost object. But one thing we see is that regarding the dignity of an individual, let's say zakin ve'in levichavaydai, that overrides the negative prohibition of lesucha l'salam, of not turning a blind eye. So therefore, asked the Gemara here also regarding the degradation, the denigration of the Kohen Gadol, what, he has to go ahead and be brought into a court of law to have to testify for some litigant that's having some court case? What do you mean? You see that when it's not dignified for the person, he doesn't have to, he can even override a negative prohibition, so too he doesn't have to testify. Why do we say that he has to testify? So I'm Yisuf says, this that the Mishnah taught in Meir, that a Kohen Gadol testifies, is talking about Lamelech. Is talking about then when the litigant was the king, and the Kohen Gadol knows testimony for the king, that's when he testifies. But the Gemara says, how can you say that? But now we learned in our Mishnah that said, Loi don v'loi don in Isai, the king does not judge, and we don't judge him. Loi made v'loi made in Isai, he doesn't testify, and we don't testify against him. So therefore, what type of testimony is required if the king cannot be a litigant in the court case, that we don't testify or we don't judge him? So Elam Rabzeir, rather, he says, you're right, Meid Leben Melech. It's talking about that if the Kohen Gadol knows testimony for the prince, the son of the king, that case is where the Kohen Gadol would testify. You're right, usually he wouldn't because it's not honorable. But in the prince, then he would. So on that, the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ben Melech Hedidhu. The prince, he himself, is a commoner. He's not the king. Then the question comes back, that there's going to be degrading for the Kohen Gadol to have to testify. What's the case of that we say that the Kohen Gadol is Meid that he testifies? Ella rather says the Gemara means Meid b'fnei ha-melech. It means to say that the Kohen Gadol would testify if it's in front of the king, meaning if the king is sitting on the Sanhedrin, on the courts, that's not degrading for him, that's honorable for him to testify. On that, the Gemara says, how can you say that too? V'ein meshivin melech b'sanhedrin. We just said before that we don't put the king on the Sanhedrin, which the Gemara is going to later explain from that price of this halacha. So we know that halacha is the king cannot sit on the Sanhedrin, he cannot sit on the court. So what's the case then that you're saying this in front of the king? So that the Gemara answers, Mishum Yikr the Kohen Gadol, because of the honor of the Kohen Gadol, because since the Kohen Gadol knows testimony for the king's own son, so Asa, the king will come, the Yasev, and he'll sit until Mikabli Nahalila Sadusa, until they receive the testimony of the Kohen Gadol, then Kaihu V'Asal, then he'll get up and leave, because as we're shortly going to see, that the reason why the king cannot be in the Sanhedrin is only because of the time when the judges are conferring after they receive all the testimony. But it's no problem for the king to be there during the times of the testimony, to receive the testimony. So it's not honorable for the Kohen Gadol to say testimony from the regular court, but at the time of his testimony, the king will sit in on the court, on the Sanhedrin, because it's for his own son, for the prince. And then the king will get up, and then we will go ahead and analyze the judgment. That's the case of when the Kohen Gadol is going to say testimony again for the prince, where the king will sit in just for the testimony of the Kohen Gadol. Now, Gufa, we had mentioned this halacha, Eimah Shiva Melech B'Sanhedrin, the king cannot sit in on the high court. Moreover, another halacha says, the Brice says, neither can a king or the Kohen Gadol be part of the court that intercalates, that extends the year into an Ibr year to add another Adar. And the Gemara explains these halachas. Melech B'Sanhedrin, the king cannot be on the high court, because the Chassid, it says in the Pasuk in Shemais, Leisana al Riv, you should not respond regarding a dispute, which that Pasuk is talking about regarding the judges, you have to go after the majority. But the drasha is since the word Riv is spelled without a Yud, it also could be read Leisana al Rav, you cannot respond to the master, meaning in order to contradict the higher person stature of the judges. So essentially in this case, if the king will say that he's guilty, so no one anymore could say that he's not. because you can't respond to the Rav, and therefore we don't put a king in the Sanhedrin because then no one's going to be able to contradict him. So that's why the king cannot be in the Sanhedrin. Moreover, said the halacha, le'melech v'kohen gadol be'birshani, you can't have the king or the kohen gadol part of the deliberations of extending the year, of adding another adar. What's the reason? Melech mishum avsanya, the king, because he gives money annually to his soldiers, a certain amount per year. So of course he wants the year to be extended another month, because then he gets a free month, essentially, because he only pays once a year annually. And therefore he's always going to want to extend it, where we don't want to always, we want to be able to see it in an objective way. And Kangadol actually, for the other reason, is that actually he's not allowed to be part of the deliberations because he's never going to want to extend the year, Mishum Tzina, because of the cold. Because since on Yom Kippurim, he has to immerse himself and sanctify himself. He has to immerse 5 times, and he has to wash his hands and feet 10 times. If we're going to extend the year, so what would have been, what Tishrei is going to actually come out, well, would have been Cheshvan. So you're going to have the cold of Cheshvan is going to be in Tishrei, so he's never going to want to extend the year because now it's going to be a month later. Tishrei is going to be in what would have been Cheshvan, so therefore, we can't have either one of them because the Melech's always going to want to extend and the Kohen Gadol is never going to want to extend. Now, Amar Papa, he says one thing that Shmami know, what we can infer from this, that we said that the Kohen Gadol cannot be part of the Ibur Hashana because he's always going to want to not extend it. And the reason why we said it is because then what Tishrei is going to be what would have been Cheshvan, and therefore it's going to be cold. So what we see is the Shat the Basa Yarcha Azal. The year goes after the month that it would have been. Meaning, if you would not have extended the year, that, according to that month, is how that heat and the cold of the year goes. So therefore, the cold that would have been in Cheshvan, now if you're going to extend it, the Tishrei is going to have that cold. So therefore, the year goes after the month of what it would have been. So since it would have been Cheshvan, and now we're extending it Tishrei, so although now it's Tishrei, yeah, but it's on what would have been, which is Cheshvan, and therefore it's going to be cold, and therefore the Kohen Gadol is never going to want to extend the year. Now this halacha, the Gemara's Eden, is that really so? But Vahanach Gimel Royi Boker Davakaimi, there were 3 shepherds of cattle that were sitting around. V'sheminu Rabban Dekami, the rabbis overheard them that were saying as follows. Each one of these herdsmen said as follows. Charamar once said that if the ground is warm, that it's going to sprout the seed of Bakir V'lokish, of the early crop and of the late crop, Kechado Yenet, and that it's going to sprout as one, meaning the wheat that's planted either in the beginning of the month or some of the gears in the beginning of the winter, and the barley that's planted only now, later in the year, and they're going to sprout at the same time, then Hu Adar, that means it's Adar. Vimlav, and if not, less than Adar, then that's not Adar, that means to say it's still part of the winter, it's still Shvat. V'charam, the other one said a similar concept. He said, Im Tar B'Tzvar B'Slag Yamus, if in the morning it's going to be so cold, until an ox would be close to freezing from death, that he'll die from cold, ubitiara, betul te'ena yidmuch, but in the afternoon it's going to be so hot until the ox is going to have to shade himself in the shade of a fig tree because it's so hot, and yishlach mishri, he's going to like peel off his skin, in other words, he's going to scrape himself against the fig tree because he's so hot, then hu adar, that means it's the month of Adar. And if not, less than Adar, that means it's not Adar. V'charam, the third one said, Im kidum takuf lachado yehei, if it already weakened the strength of the winter so much that when the eastern wind, which is very strong, comes, and it brings the cold with it, and you're going to be yafich beloyach, you're going to blow with your mouth, and nafik lekivli, and it's going to go opposite towards that wind, in other words, your blowing will be stronger than the wind, and it's going to heat it up, then no Adar, then this is Adar. Again, we're saying all these different ideas are basically saying that an Adar is when it's warming up already. Vimlav, and if not, if it's still a very strong cold, less than Adar, then it's not Adar, rather it's Shvat. So says the Gemara, Vavdu Rabbanan, Vabru Rabban Lahishata. And based on what these 3 herdsmen had said, the rabbis went and extended the year and they made it like Shvat. Because they said it's only going to be Adar if it's going to have this quality, and it's going to be this warm, and it wasn't. So therefore they said, okay, you know what, it's really not Adar, it's really supposed to be Shvat. So therefore they made a second Adar afterwards. So one thing you see is that the year goes after, not the month that it would have been, rather the month that it is right now because it was extended. In other words, it didn't come out in this story that we had the heat of Nisan already in Adar, Rather, the custom of Adar was in the second Adar. So which one is it? Is the temperature based on the month that it would have been? Or is it based on the month that it is right now because we extended it? So says the Gemara, what, Batisbara? Is it logical to ask what you just asked? You think Rabbanan Aravas and Samach, you think the rabbis defined their deliberations and they decided to extend the year based on what these herdsmen had said? No, El Rabbanan Achushvainer Samach. The rabbis relied on their calculations, which besides what these the herdsmen said, they would have extended the year. But here, V'roi Bakr is Tayuhu Distaye Milsayu. It just happens to be that it was the good mazel of the calculations where it actually turned out to be the extension just like what the herdsman had said, where, okay, it's working out this way. But in general, when they extend the year, usually the year is going to go based on the month that it would have been. Here, that it actually turned out to be that the weather was going to turn out to what it was extended to be. Meaning when they extended the year in this situation, Rabban overheard these three herdsmen, and in Adar, the Adar Sheni, it was what the weather of Adar was, not the weather of Nisan. That just happened to have been that way. But they didn't calculate it based on that, because you're right, usually when we're Ma'abed the Shana, it's going to have the characteristics, the quality in the climate and the weather based on what it would have been. And again, that's why he said the Kohen Gadol cannot be part of the deliberations of Ibra Hashanah, because if they're going to extend the year, he knows when he's going to be Tevilin in Yom Kippur, it's going to be not like the 10th of Tishrei, but rather like the 10th of Cheshvan, because he usually has the quality of the month that it would have been. And this situation was an exception, and that's not why they did it, because they don't usually, when the Ibra is, that it takes on the quality of what it could be, but rather what it would have been. And therefore, although it happened to have been that year when they extended it, the Adar Sheni was not like that of Nisan, but rather that of Adar. And as they were saying, because that year was cold, and therefore this can't be, quote, Adar, it has to be Shvat, and it was working to pull it back to what it is. But usually, it's actually going to be the month that it would have been, and therefore it's not a contradiction to the halacha that a Kohen Gadol cannot be part of the Ibra Hashanah.